the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's happening, folks? Brandon Warren here to chat with you for another Midwest Swing podcast and simulcast. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You can find us on, what am I missing here? Libsyn, I think, as well. Let's see if we can get this framed up quite right. But we can talk about just about whatever you want. Twins coming off a really strong win over the Cleveland Indians tonight. Not a bad start, I guess you could say, for Adalberto Mejia. Had to kind of scuffle through five innings tonight, but did lead the Twins to a 5-0 win. So the Twins, coming off being shut out for the first time all season, turn around, flip the script on the Indians tonight. Trevor Bauer, obviously not a great start. Started stewing on the mound a little bit as the Twins pushed four runs across on him in the second inning. They would add a run in the seventh as well, but ultimately that was about all the Twins needed, as Mejia, Tyler Duffy, Taylor Rogers, and Trevor Hildenberger combined to shut the Indians down for the win tonight. So, if you are joining this Periscope chat for the first time, and you want to contact me, you can feel free to leave comments on the screen. I am, however, more likely to see them if you put them on Twitter at Brandon_Warren, so we can chit-chat about pretty much whatever you want. Twins falling out of first place last week with the Chicago series and the Cleveland series before that. It has been a little while since I've rapped at you guys on one of these, so we can take some questions. I did file a mailbag today. Sorry, I don't know why I was thinking timeline. I did file a mailbag for zonecoverage.com today that you should check out. I did come up with my equivalent of the Jimmy Butler trade if the Twins were to pull one off like that. I think you guys might like that as well. So it'll be interesting to see what you guys think if I came up with what a Jimmy Butler trade for the Twins would look like. Hypothetically, I'll say it involves Eddie Rosario and it involves another bat. And it involves the Twins getting someone who plays Eddie Rosario's position. I think you guys will really like it. So zonecoverage.com. Under the Twins tab, it'll be the first thing you see if you check it here yet tonight. If you are listening to this as the podcast audio form, you can check it out. It'll be one of the first things you find. It'll say Friday Mailbag with my name in all bold. Warren, W-A-R-N-E. If you are not following me on Twitter yet, you should at Brandon_Warren. You should also follow us at ZoneCoverageMN. Because Zone Coverage is giving me all the support that I need to make sure that I can do these for you guys, that I can cover the Twins when they're at home and on the road. I will be writing a feature on Eddie Rosario coming up here very shortly on his improved plate discipline. Still not great, granted, but much better than last year. So we'll take a look at that. I'm getting a lot of questions in the chat about Zach Granite. Speaking of Eddie Rosario, possibly the replacement for Eddie Rosario in Zach Granite, who is just ripping up Rochester right now. And for the last, I believe it's about 3 weeks, he has really upped his game. And people are wondering what his ETA is. Honestly, I am not sure. Yeah, 359 batting average it looks like, based on a couple of the comments here. I'm not totally convinced that you're looking at a big league regular in Zach Granite. He can play defense. He can run. I don't know that he'll hit enough in the big leagues, but he does deserve a chance. With that said, I don't know if that means they'd have to send down Kenny Vargas. And keep in mind, too, I'm just not sure. Oh, thank you. 359 is after tonight, Rooster Man is telling us, as far as Granite, because I know Granite had a couple hits tonight. So, obviously a hot streak. Keith Law, in his chat on Metal Party in the last couple days, called it a BABIP frenzy, I think it was, or something to that effect. I do think he has enough bat ball skills to maybe hit 280 in the big leagues, maybe even higher than that, which is pretty impressive. There's virtually no power there, and there is a decent eye. I think you might be looking at Jason Tyner 2.0, which is a valuable player as a fourth outfielder. I also have heard comps to Billy Burns, who was with the A's in 2015, had a really nice season. Didn't do anything last year between the A's and Royals, and is now caught kind of in limbo in the, I want to say, Kansas City system still. However, really nice little player there for a year. Maybe a little more than Darren Mastroianni was. Okay, 3-for-5 is what Rooster Man is saying. So 3 hits for him. Yeah, he'll be better. I mean, he'll be better than Mastroianni. But Mastroianni, if you look at WAR, had a really nice year for the Twins back in like 2013, I want to say. Or maybe it was 2012. But yeah, a really nice player that you can get 6 years of utility futures out of, which is nice, and can really help you as a cheap fourth outfielder, which allows them to have the flexibility to make a move, whether it's to flip Robbie Grossman, send Kenny Vargas back, I mean, whatever they want to do. And so when the pitching staff gets settled down and they decide what they're going to do, and if they decide that they're going to have Kenny Vargas play regularly at DH, or once they figure out what they're going to do with all these moving parts, you know, I think Granit at some point deserves a chance. Again, though, I'm not feeling like he's going to get a starting chance, but he can spell guys at all three outfield positions. He's very fast. I believe he's quite a good defender. I don't know that he's got much of an arm, but people have compared him to Ben Revere, and I think his arm is much better than Ben Revere's, which is not really saying much. But I do think that with Hildenberger, you are looking at a guy. Not Hildenberger. Sorry, I'm confusing with the next question. Granit, I think you're looking at a guy who can definitely help this team in some form or fashion as a pinch runner, late inning defender, so on and so forth. Especially if the 1 year sample rings true for Rosario in that his defense hasn't been all that great. Now, he does have some issues with throws, makes mistakes where he throws to the wrong bases and all that. And Paul Molitor did say that sometimes when he hasn't thrown somebody out in a while, he gets a little antsy and will make throws he shouldn't, which is just a maturity thing. I think he can grow out of that. But it's interesting to see if that'll be a situation where they give him a chance up here. Rooster Man wants to know about Turley's MLB failure compared to AA and AAA dominance. Of course I'll get to that, because I've been big on Turley since he started really carving people up in Chattanooga here a couple months ago. I think the biggest issue is command. And the trouble is, the fastballs obviously pop in 94, 95, a couple 96s in that first start at home against Cleveland, but no command of the breaking ball. And so I think that, you know, if he can't, I mean, the breaking ball and the changeup were supposed to be very, very good pitches for him, especially the breaking ball, especially the 15 strikeout start he had against Scranton Wilkes-Barre, which is a pretty good team down there, or at least a pretty talented team. It was obvious that he did not have a feel for that pitch up here. And he got progressively worse the longer he was up here. The San Francisco start was wobbly. The start against the Indians was downright ugly. And then, obviously, the last start in the White Sox series was just a debacle of epic proportions. Didn't throw a curveball until pitch number 22. Technically, I guess, Thursday against the Indians. Or White Sox, excuse me. The first pitch he threw to, I believe it was Matt Davidson, was a curveball for an 0-1 count. And by that time, they were already down 4-0. And on a day where they didn't score any runs, the game was already basically over after almost a five-hour rain delay, which is extremely disappointing. So I'm not really sure what the plan was there, in that he was basically all fastballs with a few changeups for those first 20-some pitches, and then mixed in the curve after that. And, you know, it was just a disaster. And I do think that Turley will resurface. I do think it's going to be as a reliever, maybe one of those super relievers like a Chris Devensky, Tyler Duffy, guys that get used, like I've said before, maybe the fifth, like the end of the fifth inning, start the sixth, go through the sixth, early in the seventh. So I think that what you're looking at for, as far as what he's capable of, I think it's going to be out of the bullpen. But I don't fault them for spending three starts on him, because there's just too much to gain and not enough to lose to give a guy like that a chance, especially when you are limited to starting guys like Adam Wilk, Chris Heston, Dylan Gee or G, I'm not sure which one it is, could be an option in the future as well. I'll try Turley over those guys anytime. Better than Jason Wheeler as well, who has now been designated for assignment by the Dodgers. So obviously another organization not totally certain he should be on the 40-man roster. So, I think Turley has the talent. I think he's a smart guy. I also talked to him a little bit about driveline bases, going to represent my guys out west as far as getting the weighted ball program. He's been doing some of the weighted ball program, which has helped him bounce back from some of his recovery stuff. He said he didn't say it necessarily made him throw harder, but rather that he felt like his recovery was better. And so, obviously all those things are important for pitchers as opposed to maybe gaining velocity. It's just a matter of working on health between starts or if he moves to the bullpen between appearances. Josh Betts wants to know, what are the chances, if he continues to pitch well, that Trevor Hildenberger stays with the Twins for an extended period of time? It's difficult to say because there's going to need to be a move to make room for Hector Santiago to pitch in Boston. And so, do I think Hildenberger is likely to stay up with G going back down? Not particularly, but the fact that they made the move to put him on the 40 means that they're, I still think, somewhat serious of giving him at least a look. I didn't understand the Melitakis DFA, and we'll talk about that in a minute here as well. But I'm not really sure who else they send out. They could designate Breslow, they could designate Belisle, and I don't think anybody would bat an eyelash, both in this chat and among pretty much all Twins fans. And so I'm not saying that I think it's going to happen. And there's been a few times where I thought it could happen this year, but it hasn't yet. And I still think it will, but I just don't. At this point, I don't feel confident saying after one game or another, yes, they're definitely going to designate this guy this day. So, I still don't think Belisle or Breslow are a very good bet to finish the season with the Twins, but I'm not sure if they've reached that point now where they would designate one of those guys as opposed to sending back someone like Hildenberger. So, as much as I think they want to find out what they have in Hildenberger and give him a fair crack, I also think he probably could be sent back pretty easily here on Tuesday to make room for Santiago coming off the disabled list. So, there's a lot that can happen between then and now, though, too, as far as a disabled list stint. The bench is a little bit short with Adrianza going on the DL, and they added a couple arms. So they may actually want to send back a couple of arms. So we'll see what happens. Rooster Man wants to know about John Curtis's chances. Pitched great in AAA. Hasn't given up a run. I thought I saw a 0.82 ERA for Curtis at Chattanooga, but maybe that person had it wrong. But, no, he's been phenomenal, and I do think Curtis is someone that's better than a Bucinitz or a Hildenberger, Melitakis, all that. I hold out fairly significant hope for Curtis just because I think he's got a little bit better of a profile. Two runs, no big deal. I know it was recent that those happened because he had allowed zero earned runs for the first few months of the season, which is, obviously a phenomenal start to the year. He, too, I think is an older guy, but I think he's got a little better plane than Bucinitz does, and obviously throws harder than Hildenberger and Melitakis. So I think he's just got better stuff. I saw him at 98 when I was watching him pitch for, I want to say it was Chattanooga, maybe a month ago or so. So it'll be fun to see what he's capable of because I think he is a much better, much more sustainable kind of guy. Nick Tuttle wondering if Curtis throws gas. Yeah, he does. He throws absolute gas, 97, 98. I don't know much about the secondaries, but I think he's a much more intriguing pitching prospect than most of these guys that have come up. Hildenberger's got interesting numbers, but Hildenberger has a little bit of, I think, maybe like Anthony Slamma in him. Like maybe the quasi-love child of Anthony Slamma and Pat Neshek, which is to say he could certainly be effective. And I really think that the changeup was dirty tonight. The changeup was really, really good. And if he's going to throw the same-handed changeup like he did to, I don't remember who it was, maybe Yan Gomes tonight, that was just filthy. And I think that can be a really good pitch for him. And that's going to be the difference between him, probably being a factor in the league and not. And I know my guy Eric Longenhagen over at Fangraphs thinks he's a middle reliever in the future. But the deception and the changeup have him play up a little bit to the point where he could work, you know, seventh innings, which is good too. So it'll be interesting to see. Twins fan 44 says he believes he heard that Hillenberger had a 60 changeup on the 2080 scale, according to MLB a few years ago. Yeah, that would not surprise me. So we'll see what happens. I did also see someone else mention Ryan Pressly. I do think Presley's got to come back in the fairly near future as well. I haven't seen any numbers on his return to Rochester over the last couple days, but I was surprised to see him sent out before the doubleheader. I just did not think that that was really the move that they were angling for. But nevertheless, here we are. Let's see, we got some other questions. Doubles wants to know, what's up with DFAing Melitakis? Thought we were close to getting to seeing him. Something else in the works here? So he's wondering about Mason Melitakis. I think we all were today when we found out the Twins had designated him for assignment. My people in my eyes in the sky, so to speak, my people in Rochester saw him at 89-90. My people in Chattanooga saw him 89-92. I've heard as high as 93-95 in the past. I did hear from Rochester people that he didn't look great. I mean, it hasn't been a large sample size, but it, you know, it also seems like he could probably give them whatever Breslow's giving them, which is to say not a lot. So the Twins can re-add him to the 40-man roster. I think it's within 7 days and not have to risk exposing him to waivers. That's possible. They also maybe have a pretty good inkling that he will clear waivers, or they may have a deal worked out somewhere that he can be shipped to bring something back. The deal that I kind of teased, and I'm not saying that there's anything to it steam-wise, but it wouldn't surprise me if Terry Ryan out in Philly liked him and maybe was willing to make a move for him. Terry Ryan, obviously one of the scouts for the Phillies. Andy McPhail is a big one of the big bosses out there. And if they like Melitakis and they have bullpen questions for sure, I mean, they just put Casey Fien on the disabled list. That's how bad it's gotten out there. You know, would they trade Pat Neshek for a package or something like Melitakis? Especially with Neshek pitching well, but not really a stud, so to speak, just a very good reliever with free agency looming at the end of the season. I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. It's just me floating an idea or scenario that probably will not happen. But I think Twins fans would welcome it because Neshek's got good numbers and would definitely help this bullpen out a lot. A lot. So, I don't know. I think Pat Neshek would look good in a Twins uniform again, and maybe that makes sense. But they do have some moves to make here. I know Hughes is working his way back. I think he was supposed to pitch for Rochester again here today or yesterday, so I haven't really checked up on that. So we'll take a look at that as well eventually and see where he's at there. Going to come back as a reliever, which might make him the long guy, which also probably could make Dylan G get sent back out. I don't know. It's a fluid situation, and I just don't know what the plan is, really. Let's see. Take a couple more questions here if people have got them. Eduardo Escobar hitting streak snapped tonight. I think that was 9 games. He went 0-4. 3-hit game for Brian Dozier, who's starting to come around a little bit. 2-hit game for Polanco, including a home run. Jorge's got to start swinging better because, obviously, they're breathing fire down his neck. When Adrianza was healthy, he was stealing some playing time, and Escobar's going to steal some playing time while he's hot, which, you know, we'll see how long that lasts, but hopefully it's a while because he's a good guy and kind of a funny guy. So we'll see what happens, but I do think that you got to get Eduardo Escobar in the lineup every day right now. Twins fan 44, I believe Joe, wants to know my thoughts on LaTroy Hawkins, and I don't know. I mean, I didn't listen that closely tonight. I kind of was bouncing back and forth between a few things. But between you and me, anybody else listening, I think anybody other than Burt is pretty good. I've been just really, really disappointed with Burt's analysis or lack thereof for the last couple seasons. And I don't know what it is. And I'm not trying to cast any stones. I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything. I just feel like it's a lack of preparation or a lack of care, or, you know, hopefully it's not something else, but I just don't feel like Twins fans are getting any analysis from him. And it's a very, very well-paid job. Fans should be getting something from it. And it's very, very infrequently that that Bert Blyleven says something that adds value on a broadcast. And I think Twins fans deserve better. And, you know, it's kind of telecast on the whole. I think Corey Provis and Chris Atterbury should do the radio together. They're both phenomenal. And then as far as TV, I don't know. We'll see what happens because I don't think it's been great. I don't think it's been great. I did see someone say they like Tory. Colin Nelson talking about a pitch being right down the middle and it's actually on the corner, which I tweeted. I could not believe that. You know, it's, I don't know how often you can say uppercut swing, keep the ball down, all these things that are just old baseball adages that don't actually add any value. I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. Andrew, can you explain the Twins' lower minor league system? Like, what are the names? Okay. So basically, the lowest level is the Gulf Coast League. That's where guys start off. And, you know, there's extended spring training for the early part of the season, which is where players from all different levels get extra reps but are not playing actual games. There's Gulf Coast League, which is where all the real young players and very raw players go. Then there's rookie level for Elizabethton and I'm trying to remember the other one. Yeah, but that's E-Town, you know, rookie level in the Appalachian League. Then there's low A Cedar Rapids, high A Fort Myers, double A Chattanooga, and Rochester, which is triple A. Double A is usually considered the biggest jump for most players because that's where a lot of the top prospects are playing or stationed. AAA is more of a finishing ground for guys as far as facing former big leaguers who might sequence things differently or have some big league experience as far as you know, just doing different things that help younger players prepare for the grind of the big leagues. So I know I'm missing a rookie league level there. It's E-Town, and I don't know why I can't think of the other one. Where did Lewis go? I believe Royce Lewis was going to the GCL. I believe he said that to us during the opening presser. So, Alex Kirilloff got moved quickly. Yeah, the Gulf Coast League is what the GCL is. So it's in Fort Myers. Yeah, the team is called the GCL Twins. So it's a pretty basic name. But Alex Kirilloff, I believe, went to Elizabethton, which is where more of the advanced guys who are drafted go. You know, you might see someone like a Brent Rooker go there for a couple days to get his legs back before he goes to Cedar Rapids or Fort Myers after that. But Kirilloff got bumped because he was a little bit more, he was believed to be a little bit more advanced than most rookies. And he held his own at E-Town, which is impressive. Lewis is pretty young. He was 17 until about a week before the draft. So they're going to want him to go to the GCL. Blaine Enloe, I see Joe asking about Blaine Enloe. Yeah, I think he'll go to the GCL as well. And I do believe that Landon Leach will too. Especially Leach in that he's such a Johnny-come-lately as far as pitching is concerned because he's a converted catcher. So he'll go to the GCL as well. Last question I'll take is from Doubles. How do you explain the Twins' vastly improved defense? Buxton explains the outfield, but the infield looks way better, especially Maurer. I mean, Buxton explains center, and center can, I think, lift the sea level for the two guys at each side. A full season of Kepler is better than a half season of Kepler, you know, especially considering what they've been running out there in the past. You know, less Robbie Grossman helps, although Rosario's numbers haven't been all that great. But both of those guys in the corners are better than Robbie. Robbie's fine. He's just nothing special. He's been better this year than last, but I don't think it's been by a ton. But he's looked better, at least with the eye test, I think. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. As far as the infield is concerned, Maurer's been great. Dozier's been all right. You know, no obvious issues with him. Castro behind the plate has been phenomenal. And the left side, which everyone thought was going to be a big issue, has been really darn good. I think Miguel Sano is about even as far as metrics are concerned, or maybe a little bit below. But Polanco is getting really, really good marks as a shortstop. So obviously a really, really good development there for him because it was you know, a significant worry that he would not be a particularly good shortstop. And he made a couple nice plays tonight as well. So obviously it's something he's come along with quite well. We'll wrap with this. Roosterman says that Brent Rooker got his first hit tonight, so that's pretty awesome. I think Rooker's going to move quickly and be, you know, he might be with the Twins a year from now. Who knows? You know, let's hope so, because he'll be 23 then, and it'll be time to kind of move him up and get him going, because that bat should be able to help this big league team sooner rather than later. All right, guys, we've reached the 25-minute mark. Thanks for hanging out. Peace. We'll be back in, you know, coming at you with the Periscope early next week. I'm going to go out of town for the weekend. I'll be in Fargo. But be good. Peace.